So I recently went to two different concerts. One was a rock show featuring one of my favorite must-see-before-death bands, and the other was a contemporary classical concert featuring a performer and a composer, both of whom I very much admire. The parallels between the two shows have really gotten to me, and I wonder if they'll resonate with some of you too. For both of the shows, my cohorts and I got all gussied up appropriately, a little more formal for the classical show. Once we got inside of the club, we stopped by the merch table and bought t-shirts, since everybody knows merchandise is how bands actually make their money. I found no such table at the classical concert, don't know why. At the rock show, we found a good-looking spot to stand and wait while the roadies prepped the stage, testing the pedals, tuning the instruments.
Sibilance.
People were drinking a surprising amount of expensive, crappy beer, taking selfies, making out. I ran into friends, and there were hugs, and, "Oh my God, I haven't seen you in forevers!" While in the lobby at the concert hall, we sort of milled about among the murmur of voices from these little clusters of people who were chatting and drinking wine. I saw a musician I knew across the room, and she was actually somebody I had hung out with several times. And I went up to say hi to her. She gave me a flat hello, and then turned back to the people she was talking with. I looked around the lobby and, in fact, saw six or seven other musicians and composers I'd talked for an extensive period of time with, but strangely, no words were exchanged between us. At the club, the lights went down, and everybody stopped everything to cheer wildly as the band walked on stage. In the concert hall, when the lights went down, a hush settled over the audience. The rock show was a wall of sound. The musicians were intricate. They were aggressive. It was like they were exorcising demons with their music. I was blown away by the music at the classical concert, too. It was a touch Philip Glass. It was huge and apocalyptic. It was new and old at the same time. At the club, the audience sang every song back to the band. They danced, pumped their fists in the air, jumped up and down as a mass to the songs that everybody knew by heart. The band thanked the crowd several times. They were clearly moved by the outpouring of appreciation. There was a sort of symbiotic energy exchange between the band and the audience. Many times between songs at the classical show, I also wanted to stand up and cheer, but nobody else did, so I just sort of cheered internally. The performers' gestures were well rehearsed, but their passion was clearly real. And when the music was over, the performers took lots of bows together, pointing to various members of the company, and the audience applauded for an impressively long time. A few whoops and hollers of "Bravo!" here and there. After the fourth or fifth encore song at the club, the band left the stage, seeming both humbled and elevated by the experience. The lights went up, and my friends and I found each other. We squealed, talked about how great the show was, ran into people, and planned for after-show drinks. We all walked out through the sea of plastic beer cups on the sticky floor, our ears impaired, our voices hoarse, our legs killing us, covered in sweat, and feeling more alive than we had when we walked in. Meanwhile, at the concert hall, I decided to stay behind for the meet and greet. To put it simply, it was painfully awkward. No one met or greeted me, and I guess I was too self-conscious after a couple of stilted conversations and a hugging fail to do much reaching out of my own. People I'd spent hours with, had corresponded with multiple times, and whose music and events I'd championed and promoted on this very show streamed by me without a nod, which I thought was frankly kind of sh-
Naughty word.
As we left, I passed the merch table where they were now selling CDs of the piece, and I neither stopped nor paid $20, mostly because I wanted to flee as quickly as possible. As you may know, I'm new to this classical music world, but as I say in the intro of our show, I really want to learn, but I really want to learn. I don't go to a lot of concerts, but I've been going to concerts here and there that classical classroom guests have invited me to or recommended that I see. Because I feel like you can't fully experience music until you see it performed live, and I want the whole banana. But I have to say, that for all the lamenting I read about funding being pulled for orchestras, about classical radio stations dying, and about classical music being an endangered genre, I have witnessed no attempt at winning converts at classical music concerts. In fact, in this instance, I've never experienced a more exclusive elitist event.
Niles, do you think I'm elitist?
Of course I do. You needn't worry about that.
No, not in a good way.
I actually saw more people I knew at the classical music show than at the rock concert, but somehow no human connections were made that evening. As Cheers taught us, people like to go to places where they feel welcome and they like to be a part of things. There are some great folks in the classical world working hard to bring that reality into being, to break down the cultural and economic divides between classical and other kinds of music. I think of Simona Dinnerstein's Bach Packing Initiative that brings music to schools, Missy Mazzoli's Victoire playing traditionally indie rock music festivals, the San Francisco Symphony playing at the Soundbox nightclub. I don't want to overlook these attitudes or efforts because they're wonderful. But there's clearly still some intense exclusivity going on in classical land, which I think, because the music is so great, is kind of heartbreaking. And I wonder, what can be done about it? Why are things the way they are anyway? Take the unspoken no clapping policy. According to music writer Alex Ross, before Wagner's premier performances of Parsifal in 1882, cheering at classical music concerts was just part of the experience. Like at other kinds of concerts, it's how musicians and composers knew their work was being appreciated by the audience. But the reverential behavior Wagner requested from his audiences spread. And as Ross says, it became the gold standard of audience sophistication at performances. People like conductor Leopold Stokowski carried that torch into the modern world. Stokowski thought of classical music concerts as worthy of temple-like behavior and of audience interruption as something that debased the moment. In a way, I can appreciate that sentiment. Conceiving of concerts as works of art in progress, you know, when you frame it that way, I can see why interruptions might be frowned upon. But couldn't we listen in this manner from the comfort of our own sofas? Ross quotes writer Christopher Small, who says, "Who we are at classical music concerts is spectators rather than participants. And our silence during the performance is a sign of this condition, that we have nothing to contribute but our attention to the spectacle that has been arranged for us. We might go further and say that we are spectators at a spectacle that is not ours." So why not tear down this wall? As Sleater-Kinney singer and guitarist Kerry Brownstein said of the physical participation at a show, "This is what it is to be a fan, curious, open, desiring for connection, to feel like art has chosen you, claimed you as its witness. Fandom keeps me hopeful and engaged, a participant." But you know, maybe this non-clapping thing is about technical stuff. Maybe you can't hear classical music instruments over audience cheering. Or maybe it's just okay to have a unique experience in the world where you sit quietly and listen, and people should just get used to it. I'm wondering, though, if there's a way to preserve the special experience of a classical music concert while extracting the elitism that specialness so easily lends itself to. And is there a desire in the classical world to divest itself of that elitism? Or does it kind of like its rarefied atmosphere?
"I have always striven to be approachable, the embodiment of the words, if you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue.
Or walk with kings nor lose the common touch."
"Exactly. If my maligner truly knew who I was, then he would have found that a more apt characterization than snob."
"Assuming he's familiar with Kipling."
"What are the odds?"
Anyway, I'm interested. I want to hear all of the sides of the cultural and social issues that plague classical music, and I want to hear their solutions. I want to attend classical music concerts without feeling like a bumpkin at a fancy restaurant. So consider this episode of Classical Classroom as a beginning of this discussion. Throughout this next year, we'll invite people to talk about issues in the classical music world like clapping at concerts, the price of concert tickets, elitism, lack of diversity, and more. We'd love to hear from you, too. Do you go to classical music concerts? Do you like them? Are you terrified you might burp in the middle of a concert? What are your experiences? Good, bad? I want to know. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. All right, that's it for this Classical Classroom short. For more Classroom, go to houstonpublicmedia.org/classroom. You can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn. You can tweet at us at ccshows or follow us on Tumblr. Send me email about your concert experiences or whatever at dclay@houstonpublicmedia.org. Thanks today to audio producer Todd Tribble Hulslander for twiddling knobs. Thanks to program director Sinjin Flynn for renewing his driver's license on time this year. Thanks to editor Mark DiClaudio for his piercing thriller video werewolf eyes. Thanks to me for writing and saying things. Thanks to you for listening. We'll catch you next time. You wanna go where people know people are all the same. You wanna go where everybody knows your name.